is Marilyn Carmen speaking. It is January 20, 1999. I am going to interview Muriel Jobin Brown at the Bethlehem Public Library.
Is it already?
It's, yep, it's going now. And, I wonder if you would, to begin with, would you tell us your full name?
Okay, Muriel Jobin Brown.
Okay, and when and where were you born, Muriel?
Littleton Hospital in June 5th, 1925.
Uh-huh. And your parents' names?
William and Mildred Jobin.
Uh-huh. And now your grandparents were around too, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you
Cephas and Blanche Jobin.
And you had brothers and at least one sister.
I had two sisters. Dorothea was the oldest, and Anita was the youngest. And then there was Arthur and William.
Mm-hmm. Right. And now, when did your family come to Bethlehem?
My father was born here.
Oh,
but
okay.
And my mother was from Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
So they came back here to live when they got married. And my grandfather came from Canada.
Ah, I see. Do you know approximately when your parents were married? About
1913.
So it would have been from around then on
that they lived here.
Okay. And where did the family live?
In Bethlehem Junction. We had my father built a home on Mitchmore Road, and
oh,
we lived there until I was about 5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And then my mother had asthma, and being close to the river, she couldn't stay there.
Uh-huh.
So we moved up on the Trudeau farm, and that's where we stayed until I got out of high school.
Oh, on the Trudeau Road?
No, Trudeau farm, right on 302. Oh, it was on 302.
Yeah.
It was between Hillcrest Inn and Lovejoy's.
Oh, I see.
Between the two hotels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bethlehem Junction was also known as
Pierce Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What did your father do for work?
He was a farmer and he was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you married a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You've been around carpenters all your life.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Did your mother work?
No, my mother never worked.
Not out for money, anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
Plenty of work at home.
Yeah.
Not for money.
Yeah. What do you remember about life in Pierce Bridge when you were a child?
It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Except for coming. I went to school in Bethlehem Junction through the second grade, then came up to Bethlehem.
Uh-huh.
But we pretty much, until I was in high school, we pretty much stayed with our friends in Bethlehem Junction.
Uh-huh.
And we just had a good time. It was wonderful.
What sorts of things did you do, like for fun?
Oh my gosh. We used to hike and swim and ski in the winter and go sledding and just get together and have parties just because.
Yes.
We just have little parties on our own without even planning anything big.
Yeah.
You might end up going up in the field and picking blueberries and eating blueberries on crackers, but that was just fun.
Yeah.
Just fun things. So we're no worries, no cares. A lot of fun.
Yes. Well, the way I think childhood should be.
Right. Mm-hmm. No responsibilities.
Yeah, no responsibilities, no worries.
Yeah.
And of course, the Depression happened in there, but maybe it was, you were too young. Maybe that was later after you were a little older.
Could be, but I just never remember being worried about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And because we lived in the farm, we always had everything you could eat and milk and everything we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And we had clothes, and I've talked to my brothers about it, and none of us can remember that we were supposedly poor. We never knew it.
Yes.
And we probably were, compared to a lot of people, but we never knew it.
Yes. Yes. I read about some movie star who had been poor when she was a child, and she said, I didn't know we were poor. I thought everybody used cheese glasses for...
Oh.
For glasses, you know. I thought that was a good thing. Because it's true, when you're a child, you just accept the way things are.
Yeah, and everything, we had everything that we needed. Mm-hmm. And I can't ever remember really wanting something badly and never being able to have it. So a bicycle, maybe. I wanted a bicycle.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, you just never thought about it. Get up in the morning and just went on your way for the day and had a good time.
Oh, that's great. For instance, did your family go to church? Or?
In the summertime, I went to the Episcopal Church with my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
And otherwise, we went sometimes to the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
And didn't go to the Protestant Church here in Bethlehem until, actually, after I was married, I started going to this church,
yeah,
in Bethlehem.
Now, there was a Catholic church at Pierce
Bridge. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather helped to build that.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Now that's interesting. And, but
that was just
I
open in the summer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That I recall.
Yeah. Then there really wasn't a Protestant church in Pierce Bridge, was
no,
there?
No.
No. It would have, if you had gone, it would have been here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now you say you went to, what was the Pierce Bridge school like? Was it a one-room school?
It was one room, eight grades in one room.
Uh-huh.
And, because I just went to the first and second grade.
Right.
But while the teacher was teaching the other classes, you could listen.
Yeah.
And you learned a lot from them. So a lot of kids actually skipped a grade more than once in the elementary school because they were taking like 2 years in one.
Mm.
And I remember as being in first and second grade, if she was busy with the older kids, we could go out and play. So we'd just go out and fight.
Uh-huh.
In the winter, we could go in the toboggan. And we didn't have an adult watching us. We just stayed near the schoolyard. And the train station was right in front of us. And the train went by, and we'd go down and wave at the train.
Uh-huh.
But none of us ever went near the tracks or anything.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts was the school? I mean, is there a building where the school was?
No, no, it was, all I can think of is, I don't know who owns the house now, but it was the John Burton house, and their school was just below his house.
Mm-hmm.
We used the same driveway to go in.
Oh, that's it. And, of course, then you came up to Bethlehem, and you graduated from Bethlehem High School.
Mm-hmm.
What year?
43.
43. Well, by that time, the war was on.
Right.
Yes. How did the Second World War affect your family?
Well, first of all, my older brother, Arthur, joined, and he was in the Air Force.
Mm.
And then my younger brother enlisted in the Army. And then, of course, after I got married, Floyd enlisted in the Army. But my older brother, when I got married, my older brother was in a prisoner of war camp in Germany.
Oh. Oh.
And I was in Pinehurst, North Carolina. I'd gone down there to work. So that's where Floyd and I were married.
Oh.
And my younger brother, William, was there too. Mm. And then when he came back, he enlisted, and my husband was into it.
Yeah. Well, now, your brother, who was a prisoner of war, he came back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he was a prisoner for 14 months.
Wow. Well, he'd have quite a story to tell.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what did you do after high school graduation?
I went to Pinehurst,
mm-hmm,
and worked for Amy Fitzgerald, who was Bessie Coney's sister.
Oh, nice.
And I worked at a very small but exclusive inn, so I was the waitress there for that 1 year. And met some wonderful, wonderful people.
Have you kept in touch with them, or did you for a while?
With a Mrs. Fitzgerald?
Well, yes, and the guests.
No, after I left the hotel, I didn't, except for Mr. Hickey, who was here in Bethlehem.
Yes,
and
I remember.
And he was a guest there for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew him for years.
Yeah.
But the others I didn't keep in touch with. They were all millionaires. And although they treated you just like themselves, and when I got worried my brother was a prisoner of war, or missing in action first.
Oh, yeah.
Those people were just like a mother and father to me.
Mm-hmm.
They were so interested and felt for me.
Yes,
and
well, and you needed that because you were
right.
Not with your family.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Or did you say your other brother was?
My brother was down there, younger brother.
Oh, well, that job. Was he working in the same place?
No, yeah. He was at the Carolina Hotel.
So you did have some family there, but
just
it was nice that they were very
They were very, very nice people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've told me in the past that you worked at the Hillcrest.
Yes, when I was 16, uh-huh. was my first job there, and I did dishes. $1 a day for washing dishes for, I'm not sure how many people, between 30 and 40 guests, I would think. Uh-huh. And I had to wash dishes 3 times a day uh-huh. for those people, and earned $1 a day for doing it.
Well, now, I presume you lived at home?
Yes.
And went up?
I lived back. Right next door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could just go over and go mm-hmm. back. Over mm-hmm. and go back. Yeah. So you didn't have to live in the health quarters.
No, no, thank God. Yeah. There weren't much to look at.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, I don't know anything about that particular one, but I know that some of them were pretty rough. Mm. Not the walls weren't finished.
No, I don't think they were there either. Yeah. They were called tumble-ins. And they were tumbled in. So it was probably 2 or 3 little buildings, but they were almost like chicken shacks or something. They weren't much.
Yeah, and of course they weren't. They weren't insulated, I'm sure.
No, yeah. No.
So it was when it was hot, it was hot. Mm-hmm. When it was cold, it was cold. Yeah.
But the hotel was only open as it was here in Bethlehem. They might have stayed open into October. Mm-hmm. But of course, as soon as school started, I wasn't there anymore, so
mm-hmm. so, so you just worked in the
mm-hmm,
summer?
Just in the summer.
Well, and you were a waitress?
And the second, when I was 17, I was a waitress. Mm-hmm. And I did enjoy doing that, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. except that the Mrs. Farron mm-hmm. was the aunt of one of the girls who was waitress, and of course, she got all the best tippers at her tables. So the rest of us, you know, there was just 3 of us. So we
did the other girl, did she live in Bethlehem?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I vaguely remember Briney Farron.
Right.
And I remember that he owned that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the first year you washed dishes, and then the second year you were a waitress.
Right.
Was that the end of it? I mean, did you work
in I worked at Hi Hattie, mm-hmm. Mrs. Garner's restaurant, for 1 summer. And then in the fall, I went to Pinehurst.
Oh, okay. So the time you were working around here was when you were still in school
mm-hmm.
then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so do you have any interesting memories of your work at either Hillcrest or Hi Hattie's?
Hi Hattie's, I had a lot of memories up there yeah. because there was a Jewish clientele, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of them, and many of them would come in early in the morning, because we opened up at 7, and they would ask for a cup of boiling water, and they brought their own half a lemon, and they'd squeeze their lemon into the water, and they'd drink that, and then they'd leave.
Uh-huh.
So finally, Margano decided she was going to charge them for the hot water.
Uh-huh.
So she did. It was probably 5 cents uh-huh. for that cup, because we had to wait on them, and you had to wash the cup afterwards.
Yeah.
So that kind of cut back on
hot
water business. But we had a lot of nice people, and we were open until like almost 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, I was going to ask you what the hours were. So, mm-hmm. Well, you didn't have to work from 7
no.
to 1, did you?
No, it was 7 to 3, but then sometimes I worked from 4 until closing. Mm-hmm. And when I worked there, I stayed at Myron Jackson's. I rented a room and stayed there.
Oh, yeah, right across. On Congress.
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have transportation from the junction up, so mm-hmm. I rented a room there, and I think I probably paid about $5 a week. And, of course, they kind of watched over me, too.
Sure. Well, that was nice, yeah.
And Margano was a very, very hard worker, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be there almost all the time it was open from the time. She'd come in, like, at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. To bake or mm-hmm. get things
and usually
ready,
yeah. be there until it closed. She was really wonderful to work for.
Mm. Well, that certainly are long hours.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And we just, sometimes she'd take a nap in the afternoon, mm-hmm. go over somewhere in the Bernardi block and mm-hmm. we'd sleep for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd just watch the rest of her. Mm-hmm. But she was put in long, long hours.
Yeah. And you were open straight through. I mean,
right.
didn't close
at any time. No, yeah. Just open from 7 until 1. And because the movie crowd always came in afterwards, so we'd be full. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a big restaurant. There was probably 4 booths in the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It wasn't big, but it would be packed and people would be waiting to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It was very popular.
Yeah, about how long was that in operation?
Mm, for sure, I can't tell you. It was still in operation after I went away.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not not sure how many years it was there.
Of course, eventually,
Eddie Wysocki.
Eddie Wysocki took it over.
I think he took it over from Nagano.
Yeah, and that was, that was in the 50s, I think.
Probably.
Yes. It was in the 50s that I was here for a while. And, I remember when the big restaurant opened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it was sometime after that that Eddie did that. Now, you've also told me about, in the past, you've told me about a lady who lived, I think, on the Mount Cleveland Road. She would make the children in the area.
Oh, no. It's
she didn't live on the...
No.
Okay.
She lived in Six Pillars.
Yes. On Agassiz.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I got it backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, now, somebody had told me this not too long ago because they remembered as a child. She came up in the summers and was chauffeur driven. She was very afraid of germs, and so she always dressed in white. White shoes, stockings, long sleeves, gloves, big hat. Mm-hmm. And her chauffeur always did the shopping. She didn't go anywhere when she got here. Mm-hmm. But she always had to have all the children from Cleveland Road come down and parade in front of her. So the mothers would have to clean them all up, send them down to parade in front of her. I think it was Julia Nelson that told me this, because this was one of them. She was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she always gave them a dollar each, which was a lot of money back then.
Yes.
And then at Christmas time, she'd send hard candies to the family. But she said she always remembered having to go down and parade. And so it was worth getting all cleaned up and everything for, to get that dollar.
It does seem weird, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, wouldn't you think she'd be afraid of getting germs?
She probably didn't get close to them, you know.
Yes.
She probably stayed on their veranda and the kids would pass by on the drive or something, and probably the chauffeur handed up the money. I don't know, but it was, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yes. Yes. I wonder how long that went on. I mean, wonder how long she owned that place.
I don't know. Julia probably could tell you.
That was a very impressive looking house with the six pillars. And it eventually burned, as I recall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It had different owners.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I remember, it was a very impressive.
Very stately.
Yeah.
Looked like a southern mansion.
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. It sort of looked out of place there.
Right, it did. Yeah, it just didn't fit in with the surroundings.
With the surroundings, mm-hmm. No. You mentioned George Hickey, and you were telling me once that he and your grandfather were good friends.
Very good friends.
Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I don't really know how they became good friends, but every summer they were traveling around all the time. Mr. Hickey would come down and pick up my grandfather. My grandfather decided to retire when he was about 55 years old, and he used to sit on the front porch and watch the cars go by in his rocking chair.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Hickey would come down and pick him up, and they would take off, sometimes for one day, sometimes for two or three.
Wow.
They'd go up into Canada, and I don't know what the attraction was, because they were far different, completely different people.
Mm-hmm.
But they got along fine and had a wonderful time, and he always looked forward to having Mr. Hickey come up.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent a lot of time together every summer.
Well, now you say your grandfather retired.
He was a carpenter.
He was a carpenter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, had he come from Canada?
He was from Canada.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew his way around in
right.
Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, perhaps Mr. Hickey did too. I don't know. So that was interesting. Mr. Hickey came into your life two different ways.
Mm-hmm. Right. If we had a chance to ride in his car, which occasionally he'd give us a ride.
Yeah.
It was quite thrilling, of course, because it was a real big car.
Yes.
We did have an automobile of our own. But to get in that big car with Mr. Hickey was quite a thrill.
Yes, I remember once I had a ride in the Ivy's of Rolls Royce. That was interesting.
I remember when I was working down south, he'd come in the morning into the dining room, mm-hmm. and he'd always say, "How much ice is there on the Amnusic this morning?" Practically every morning during the winter, he'd have to bring up the Amnusic River and the ice on it.
Yes.
Just something to say, I guess.
Yes. Just to kind of indicate
step
the fact
that we knew each
that
other
you knew each other and that he knew something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. is there anything else, you know, that you'd like to mention that I haven't thought of, any aspect of, well, anything to do with Bethlehem?
Oh, I see. Of course, it was great fun to come up to Bethlehem and see all the guests in the summertime. Mm-hmm. It was like a little city.
Yeah.
So when you came up, you were quite in awe when you were a child. Mm-hmm. See all these people walking around in long gowns and furs and everything. Mm-hmm. And you could hardly walk on the street. Mm. There were so many of them, as probably you remember even too.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
you were just kind of in awe, because the Bethlehem Junction was, most of the people were farmers or worked as carpenters. Mm-hmm. And in the wintertime, woodsmen. My father had a team of horses. We had animals. Mm-hmm. And he had a team of horses, and he'd work in the woods in the winter, and then he did carpenter work in the summer. And coming from down there up into town was like two different worlds for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Jackson's store, of course, was a real old-fashioned store.
Yep.
And they had penny candies, and
yes.
If we could save up a penny or two, it was, well, wonderful to go in there and stand in front of that big glass counter.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to pick out something for a penny.
Yes, I remember the penny candy. Oh, gosh.
Big selection. You'd stand yeah. there for the longest time. If you had two pennies, you could get two things. And you stand there and watch, and
yeah.
trying to figure out, what did you really want?
Yes.
You know, you'd take 5 minutes to spend yeah. two pennies.
yeah.
So different from now.
That reminds me, I wanted to ask, were there any stores of any sort in the Junction?
When the railroad station was there, they did have a little store in there, mm-hmm. and at one time there was some in the Lorraine Hall,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but not any other. There was, from Franconia, there was a man came around who sold meat,
mm-hmm.
and then there was the Vassas traveling store who came through Bethlehem once and into the Junction once a week,
mm-hmm.
and that was everything in the back of that store was on the truck, and mm-hmm. you could buy almost anything in that. But mostly my mother and father went into Littleton.
Mm-hmm.
Some in Bethlehem, but once a week it was a big trip to go to Littleton.
Yes.
By what you needed for a week.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to the movies in Littleton much, or up here in Bethlehem?
When I was in high school. Before I got in high school, we did.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in high school, we went a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often, see you later, quite often we would hitchhike.
Yes, I remember that. They were still doing that when I... Yeah, yes.
Sometimes you get a ride, but if you could get three or four people from the Junction, then my mother would say we could go, but certainly couldn't walk alone.
No.
And so we would hitchhike and go to a movie and then hitchhike home. And sometimes you could get a ride with somebody you knew, but
mm-hmm.
there weren't all that many cars either.
That's right.
So...
Well, it wasn't at all dangerous.
No.
Because there were so few cars.
That's right.
Naturally, you knew enough not to
right.
walk in the middle of
yeah.
the road.
And
yeah.
it, you know, you'd just walk along, laugh and push and just have a good time, and pretty soon you'd walk the 5 or 6 miles, 7 miles
That's
back
right.
home again, and it didn't seem like we were gone all that long.
No, I know. I think I did it once or twice, and it, well, maybe I got a ride.
Maybe you got a ride.
I don't remember, but I can remember starting off.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't seem so bad.
It didn't faze you to say I'm going to look into the movies and mm-hmm. get out and start walking.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we'll wind this up, but I wanted to ask you, which did you like? Do you like better, or did you like better? Did you like Bethlehem the way it was when you were a child, or do you like what it's? Or do you prefer what it's become now?
I liked it better when I was a child.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. more interesting, and things looked better, and were kept up nice, and people were always friendly. I mean, no matter whether you lived in Bethlehem Junction, when we came up to school,
mm-hmm.
within a week, we were, of course, all frightened coming up in the third grade, I was, to
yeah.
meet new people, and Mr. Cummings was there, and he looked like a giant to me. I was really afraid of him.
he was the headmaster at
yes,
that time.
Yes, he was
later
tall,
became,
and
yeah.
he, mm-hmm. I was really afraid. But within a week, you seemed to know everybody. And
so the children, the Bethlehem children, like in the village, didn't shun the
oh,
people.
No,
yeah.
no. And
well,
then
yeah, they didn't win my day, but
no,
I, you know.
No, when we came up within a week, we were just part of them and became friends and sometimes even became better friends with the ones that lived up here than we were in the Junction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all stayed together in the Junction,
mm-hmm.
but I used to come up still at night, in Bethlehem, and I thought that was a good deal. And when I played basketball in the winter, I figured we stayed overnight because we'd come home from a game and my father would be long in bed by then. So I either had to walk home or stay, so I usually stayed up here.
Well, that made sense because probably at least sometimes you'd have to go to school in the morning.
Right. And I had long curls, and my mother would only allow me to stay in a house if the woman knew how to make curls. She didn't trust anybody to comb my hair. So I could stay at Gertrude Harrigan's, and I could stay at Miss Coney's, and I could stay at Churchill's, because those women had had children that had curls, and they knew how to comb my hair and curl and put the finger in, and then the hair around the finger and make the curls. So I was only allowed to stay if they knew how to comb my hair.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
What do you think Bethlehem will be like, say, 10 years from now?
Oh, well, I hope it will improve a lot.
what would you like to see improve?
I would like to see, some of the buildings I would like to see either taken down or built up.
I agree with you.
I mean, there's still some buildings in town that are sight and unsightly.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see them improved or burned down. Or torn down, I should say. Don't dare say burn.
No.
And otherwise, I'd like to see more businesses come into Bethlehem. Small businesses, not factories or something, but small businesses come in. That would give more work to the people right here in town. And a larger library.
Yes, that's a big
that's
thing
a
that
big
you want.
Thing.
Yeah.
But we have good schools and as far as, you know, everything else in town, organizations and all are good, and people are helpful, and it's still a small town in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And probably ours will be, as long as some neighbors are still here.
Yes. Well, it was under 1,000 when I was growing up, but it's only a little over 2,000 now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about 2,040 or somewhere around there.
Yeah. So it hasn't grown a lot.
No.
I mean, it's, well, you could say it's doubled, but even so, it's, as you say,
right.
It's still small.
But the thing that, when they get out of high school and get out of college, most of them do not stay around here. They're going elsewhere, which is too bad that there isn't something to offer them worthwhile to have them stay.
Yeah. Well, now, you've been fortunate. Your children stay.
Yes, except two of them, but they stayed.
Well, that's true.
Girls.
Not all of them
stayed.
One's
in North Carolina, one's in Connecticut, but the other two stayed.
Yeah.
And they, Bruce, of course, had lived in several places before he came back here. So.
Yes, I was going to say sometimes, although they initially they go away, sometimes people do come back.
Come back.
Perhaps they go away to see the world or to learn.
Right.
A trade or whatever,
right.
Gain experience, and then they come back.
And it's always amazing to me the number of people come back during the summer, come into the library, asking about this place or that, where they used to live or where they used to come to the hotel, and about the people that they knew and who was around, and how much they loved the town and they'd never forgotten it. Even as children coming here in the summertime, they never forgot the town, and maybe 50 years later they're back. To see the town again and show their children. And that's amazing.
Yes. Well, of course, when you get 50 years away from something, sometimes it seems better than, than it may have at the time.
You're right. But years ago, there was a lot going on in Bethlehem. And for coming in the summertime, they were busy people. And now when they came back and found the hotels are all gone and it's changed a lot.
I'm assuming they're dismayed. Yes,
they are. Those places aren't there anymore. But occasionally someone that they knew and played with, a local child, and then they get the phone number and sometimes they call them up and just say, you remember me?
Oh, that's nice.
But I'm wondering how many places have people come back, even from California, that far away to make a trip back to see where they had such a good time when they were growing up in the summertime. So it speaks well of the town.
Yes, it does. Well, I've known just recently, you know, since I've been back here, I'll come across younger people, particularly, who will say that, oh, that either they live in Littleton and work in Bethlehem, or the other way around, and they say they like Bethlehem better.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, in spite of our fights and our
right.
and our high taxes
yes,
and everything,
uh-huh.
that there's something about it that.
Right.
Of course, I wonder if it might be, especially with younger people, maybe they feel it being small. I mean, they, for instance, they could go to town meeting, or they can go to village meeting, or they can go to the stat, or to the selectmen's
mm-hmm.
meeting, and they feel as though they can have a hand in what's,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen. Whereas even in a place like Littleton, perhaps they feel a little more
right.
Helpless
mm-hmm.
to do anything about what's going
mm-hmm.
on. I wondered about that.
That
I
could be true.
Yeah. Well, I guess you have to get back to your job, and I've just about covered my questions, but you know, you have so many memories. I think somebody should interview you again sometime.
Well, you have to stop and think them over
right.
and jot them down, because sitting down like this, you kind of draw a blank.
Oh, I know. It's hard. But sometimes when you get going on something, well, then that reminds
then
you of something
you
else.
Something else,
yeah.
yes.
Well, you know, you could jot things down. If you remembered something.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you remembered about Mr. McGee, you remembered about,
mm-hmm.
Well, Julia helped you remember
yes.
about the
I remember
mm-hmm.
when I was quite young, there was a little boy, stone boy, who drowned in the river down by the bridge.
This and rings a little bell with me.
Right.
Yes.
His Everett needed stone were his parents, and I can't remember, he was chasing a chicken or something out on the ice, and he went through the ice. And I can remember my mother telling the children to stay home, and I can just picture her running down the road with a winter coat on,
mm-hmm.
running down
mm-hmm.
to be with the people while
mm-hmm.
they were looking for him.
Oh.
And how much it scared us, because we mm-hmm. were always going across the river to visit one of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going along down around the river road, we'd just go down by Farron's Hotel, and we'd cross the lawn over across there and go across the river.
Mm-hmm.
And that really scared us.
Yes.
The boy fell through the ice, and it was a while before they got him out, because he went under the ice.
Yeah.
That was quite a tragedy.
Yeah. I think I might remember that now that you mention it. The other death I remember was, this was at the Sylvia Mahalo, right?